isn't just numerical, but it shouldn't exclude the numbers and the growth that we see of people coming. So we're starting this new series today, simply called A Growing Church, and we're looking at the thought of how can we be a growing church, a multiplying church, not just in the numbers that fill the chairs, the people that visit, but in every single way. So who do we look to for a pattern or a model of this? Well, I don't believe there's anywhere better to look than the first church, the early church, the primitive church that we read about in the book of Acts. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, the fire of God, the Spirit of God, fell. People were filled with the Spirit. But it was the same moment when the church was born. So think about that for a moment. Family church, in October, we'll be 28 years old. Well, actually, we're over 2,000 years old because we see ourselves as a part of the church that Jesus opened 2,000 years ago. We see ourselves as a part of the church that Jesus spoke about when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we may be 28 years old in October, but actually we're well over 2,000 years old. When we look to the origin of the church, the book of Acts, that moment when the church was born out of a prayer meeting, experiencing the fire of God, we've got to say, what was their recipe? Because they were a growing church. You see, they were in the upper room and they were people that weren't scared to leave the upper room and come down to ground level. On ground level, suddenly they have a meeting and the Bible records that they grew by 3,000, 4,000. They just began to not experience addition, but also multiplication. That would be some great problems, wouldn't it, for our hosting teams, our car park teams. Suddenly, not just one or two, 10 or 20 visitors, but hundreds, thousands. That excites my heart. And I hope it excites yours too, because we want to always be in family church, a church that's saying, God, we want to be a growing church. Now, you read in Acts 2, verse 47, something very profound. It says this, and God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow, imagine when God is the cause for people coming. We use social media, invitation. We encourage everyone in the church to be inviters and bringers. Please don't stop doing that. But stop and think for a moment. What if we saw God doing for us in the 21st century what he did for the first century church? Where we could say, we are growing and there's some things we're doing that causes that. But there's a big chunk that's all about God adding people to us and causing us to grow in a supernatural way. So if we want to experience that, we've got to make sure we're staying true to the recipe of the church. And that's what we're going to be looking through the month of September, some key elements that was the recipe for the early church. I don't believe it was a recipe they knew they were using. It was just things that they naturally did, living kingdom lives, that caused God to look down from heaven and say, I like what I see. That's a place that I'm going to send people. Oh, that family church would have that testimony too. So when we read in Acts 2:47, it speaks of God adding to the church because he liked what he saw. But if we rewind a little bit to Acts chapter 2, verses 42, it gives us this simple recipe that the early church used that caused them to experience supernatural, miraculous, beyond normal growth. Now, when we read it, it just simply says, and they devoted themselves. I believe in that statement, there's an ingredient itself. We need to be a people that are devoted to God, devoted to the Great Commission, devoted to each other. And it says of the early church, and they, that's everyone, not the church leaders, everyone that called church home, devoted themselves to a number of things. What were those things? To highlight them, number one, it says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, apostolic teaching. Now, we're a place that believes in apostolic teaching. We're not trying to bring in new truth. We're trying to live in the revelations of the truth that God revealed through the first apostles of the New Testament church. So we're going to be looking at apostolic teaching. The second thing it says is they devoted themselves to fellowship, community, not just coming to a building on Sunday and doing church, but rather being involved in each other's lives. And I know that that can scare you, especially if you're from England, if you're from another nation like or continent like Africa or Asia. Doing life with each other is a very normal, everyday thing. But sometimes in the Western world, especially England, we can begin to sectionalize. I do church on Sunday and then I get on with my life. I want to believe that the Holy Spirit will ruin that. And we will begin to see and value our fellowship. You see, the word fellowship, sometimes when we look at it again through an English way of thinking, it's staying for a biscuit and a cup of tea after church. Are you staying for fellowship? When actually the word fellowship means the sharing of life, sharing life together. That's why sometimes people don't experience everything they can in their relationship with God, because it says that we're to know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we're letting the Holy Spirit be a part of our Sunday, we miss out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's the same with church. We want church to be a community where we enjoy doing life with each other, achieving things for God together. And they devoted themselves to fellowship and the sharing of life. So we're going to look at that over the course of September. And it also says they devoted themselves to prayer, breaking of bread. What place should prayer play in our devotion? What part or what emphasis or celebration should we put on this thing that's called prayer? Do we understand the power of prayer? Do we fully understand the power of what happens when a church commits to being a praying church? So over the next few weeks, this is what we're going to be looking at. This is where we're going to be living together across the congregations. We want to be a growing church, and we're brave enough to look at the ingredients of the early church and say, how do we make them the ingredients of who we are today? Why? Because we want to grow. We want to multiply. Not just for us, but because that's the heart of the Father. The Bible says it's not his will that any perish. You see, before a person believes in Jesus, hears about salvation, hears about Jesus, believes in Jesus, they're not a part of God's family. They were made by God, but they were separated through the sin of Adam to be a part of a family where the Father is not God. It's the devil. The moment a person hears and believes, God takes them from being in the family of an abusive, evil father, and he brings them in to his household, his family. That household, that family, is called the church. The church is local. The church is national. The church is worldwide. It's one family that belongs to God. The Great Commission is really simple. God says to us, would you go and grow my family for me? When we say let's be a growing church, we're committing to be the family of God that he's placed us on the earth to be. Hope that encourages your heart. It's going to be an exciting September. So come on, let's gear up, let's lean in, let's posture ourselves to learn and apply. And yeah, it's going to be good. The Lord bless you. Have an amazing rest of your service. God bless.
Excellent. So a nice introduction to where we are and what we're going to be doing and looking at over the next few weeks. So I'm just going to sort of top and tail it, and then we're going to get on to another part of our morning. Pastor Andy calls it these ingredients the ingredient of what a healthy church should look like. I want to encourage you to believe that as well, but also I believe they are the four pillars upon which the church was established. It's established in prayer. It's established on God's word. It's established by communion, which represents the power of the cross and that change, significant change that comes in our life, and also how important this life called fellowship really is. And to me, they are pillars. They are foundational truths. And if we as a church are missing out on one of those, or you as an individual are missing out on one of those areas, we are missing out on one of the four pillars. And I'll tell you what, if you take one of those pillars out, what begins to happen to the structure? It becomes a little bit less steady. And I believe that's why it's so important that we have all four of those pillars active in our life. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." And I love the fact that, you know, we're still here, like Pastor Andy said, we're still here 2,000 years later, the church is still present. It's still, you know, regardless of what the world will want to say, the church is still central to society. It is still central to life on earth. You take the church, one day the rapture is going to happen, and the church is suddenly going to be taken out of here. Who runs the food banks usually? Church. Who runs the toddler groups in very many places? The church. Who supports the elderly? The church. You take that environment. Who does so much DBS work? You know, if you've got a DBS in your life right now, put up your hand. How many DBSs have we got in the room? Who runs recovery courses? The church. Okay, there are other organizations as well, but you take the church out and there is a huge hole. And the world will suddenly see there is something significantly missing. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And the thing that I want for all of us is to say, I don't want to just be an attender at church. I want to be the church. I want to be active in God's house. How can I get involved? How can I? I'll tell you what, I was going to wait until the end, but I'm going to say it now. Wouldn't it be amazing if when you go out today to pick up your little one, however big and little they are, that you pick up a DBS form and say, "I'm going to join the group"? How encouraging would that be to the team out there? Male and female. It's not just the ladies that go out. There are one or two guys, and it'd probably be good to have a number of guys. And if I can get enough cover for me to preach, I will go out. Because I value our kids so much. I actually said that whilst the video was on, I forgot until now, I was going to go out there and just have some fun with them for the 15 minutes that the video played. Because we've got to place a value. And by doing that, you can join the team and be a part of it. It is the church that Jesus said he would build. When you think, we have got, on average, between 40 and 55 kids in our kids' church. I think that's absolutely fantastic. We have 24 workers, but that's not enough. So let's encourage our team, pick up a form and say, "I'm wanting to serve on team." When Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail," what he was saying, he was making a declaration. It wasn't just nice words to his disciples. He was declaring it to the atmosphere. He was declaring it to the prince of the power of the air, the God of this age. He was declaring the church. Look around you. This is as good as it gets. You know, we wherever you are, whatever your church is, it's as good as it gets. Because God has to deal with humans in his journey. But the church Jesus said he would build, the gates of hell will not prevail against. No matter what pressure comes against the church, it's not going to prevail. The house of God will stand. The body of Christ, the family of who we are. And that's why we need one another. In our journey to love, to support, to walk with, to bear one another's burdens, we need each other in this journey. Jesus made a declaration. It is an unstoppable kingdom. We are part, like Pastor Andy said, the worldwide, the global church. We are a part of millions and upon millions. In fact, they reckon it's about 2 billion people say they are Christian in the world today. That's a big family. 2 billion others. But do you know what? The heart of God is, I wish that none would perish and all would come to a knowledge of the truth. So there's a work to be done and there's lives to be won for him. Jesus was making a declaration that it was going to be an unstoppable kingdom. We are part. There's a scripture, I can't remember how it goes. It says, and his kingdom reigns over all. We're in that kingdom. We may think, oh, we're just a part of a church. Well, you are. We're part of a body. Yes, you are. But it is a kingdom. These are kingdom principles. And the Bible says, and his kingdom reigns over all. No matter what the world may say, no matter what may be going on in our society, when we live according to the kingdom principles, we reign in life through one Christ Jesus. His church would expand and grow and multiply. I look at churches around. I look at pubs as well. I used to be in the pubs. And when I look at gospel and the fewer pubs there are, I actually rejoice. But when I look at the churches that have closed, my heart is saddened. Because my heart isn't just for us to grow. It is for all the churches to grow, to have a revelation of the power of God in our present, and that every church increases. If they're teaching truth, that every church would increase across our town. The world is on the peripheral of church. The world would like to say the church is on the peripheral. But everything, the Bible's very clear. God upholds all things by the word of his power. Therefore, the church is at the center and everything else exists around us. It's just that we as the church feel that we're on the outside trying to do something with the world that is greater. The truth is, we are greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. If we grasp these truths, we will have a God view of who we are as church. Not diminishing, but increasing. Not a lesser than Acts, but a greater. The Bible is very clear. In Acts, the church in Acts was incredible. Oh, God the Holy Spirit came and filled the church. And they went out and did great things. But he said that the church in the latter days will experience the greater, the former and the latter reign together. That sounds as if they had the former and we have the latter and the greater, then something very significant is about to happen in and through our lives as we allow our lives to be open to the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. The early church was birthed in fire. On the day of Pentecost, the wind came and the Holy Spirit came and sat on each of them, and then they went out and proclaimed the gospel. Do you know what? I wonder if the different ingredient of today's church is that we're not filled with fire. That's an interesting thought, eh? Their life was not dear to them. They took up their cross daily and knew that their day could end with persecution and death. I wonder if we were a part of that church, where our hearts would be today. Would we be fully devoted? Acts 2:42 says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, or the power of the cross, and to prayer. They devoted. You know, I am devoted to Jane. She's my wife. We've been married for 37 years. We've got 6 children. We've got 11 grandchildren. And we're very, very happy. I am devoted. I'll tell you what, you have to be devoted if you stick at it for 37 years. Because it hasn't always been plain sailing. When we first got together, on the first day after our honeymoon, we were celebrating our honeymoon. Jane went down, I'm going to make breakfast for my new husband. I said, you don't do toast like that. I was a grumpy old git. You don't do toast like that. It's like, we were devoted. It could have been that moment where do your own breakfast from now on. Said it a few times since, but there we go. But we are devoted to each other. And it's that same word. Devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. When you flip open the New Testament and you begin to read Acts, and you begin to work your way through the New Testament, what is it you're doing? It is the apostles' doctrine. It is what was given by the Holy Spirit and Paul began to write down. It was what was given by the Holy Spirit to Peter and Peter began to write it down. It was what was given to James, and James began to write it down. And over again, men of God who walked with Jesus or encountered firsthand or very close to firsthand knowledge, but by the Holy Spirit penned down the Word of God. Men, women, and children, families all around the world today are dying because of this book and their relationship with Jesus Christ. And the men and women who wrote this book all lost their lives because they would not deny who he was. The apostles' doctrine, the word of God, is so important for the journey of our life. Get the word of God in you. Get the word of God in your heart. Because of their devotion, they love one another. They love God. They were devoted. When you're devoted to someone, you don't just say, well, that, I didn't agree with that, and then walk out the door. Goodness me, if I didn't agree with some of the things that Jane had done over the years or said, we wouldn't be here today. But we were devoted. There can be something that someone says over here that someone over there doesn't agree with. But that doesn't mean that we fall out as the body of Christ. We just either have a difference or we work to see if we can mend that difference. The early church knew how important being devoted truly was. Their devotion to God was inseparable. What would separate us, not from God's love, what would separate us from walking with God? Come on, over the years, I've been a pastor for 22 years. I've seen people come into church and I've seen this room and the car park and the back room wouldn't be big enough to hold everybody that's ever been in church in the years that I've pastored. But people are fickle. I'm fickle. Not just you, me as well. But I tell you what, if we're devoted, we keep walking. We keep walking with him and we keep walking with one another. Because we're family. You don't walk out on family. You work out your differences. Oh, that's how it ought to be. In Acts 2:47 says this, God saw their devotion and then he did something. And Pastor Andy mentioned it, and I've got this same scripture. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. I remember the times when, oh Lord, there's someone new in church. Once a year. I don't want that experience. I want weekly, daily, we're having encounters with people and they're saying, can I come to church with you on Sunday? And people are coming in with car fulls. Can we start the meeting later because we're still bringing friends? The word in biblical Greek for devoted is proskartereo. I'm not good at English. Anything over five letters I struggle with, but Greek. But it means to persist in, continue steadfastly in, persevere and not to faint. That is what we're building in the house of God together. We are pursuing him and we're pursuing one another. We are walking with God and we do not faint. We continue in our every heart. Devoted. What does devoted to God's word look like? Devoted to the apostles' doctrine. It means that we put his word in our heart. We can do that personally and we can do that collectively. Personally, you can open your Bible each day and have a personal time with God where you grow individually, where you feed yourself. But then the Bible also says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, as is the manner of some, especially as the day approaches when I return. Hebrews somewhere. Read it. It's really important that we grow in the Word of God individually and collectively. And that is what we do. We could look at all sorts of other areas as well, as in these four specifics. Each one are going to be broken down over the next few weeks. And it's going to be, I believe, a really significant moment, especially when it comes to fellowship. We do what we can. Let's have food. Let's all come together. And the place is absolutely packed. I say, let's have a time of fellowship and a biscuit after the service, and everybody goes. Or lots of people go. I want to bring fellowship. I want us to really know each other and really grow together in the journey moving forward. The bottom line is this, and I wrote this down. Are we devoted to seeking first the kingdom of God, or are we just fitting God into our way of life? Are we sold out? Or are we just in? Very good question. There's a lot more I would have said, but time has gone on graduation Sunday. Have I got a form, please? Is anyone? Darren, can I have a form? Can I have a form, and could half a dozen people help Darren hand out forms? That would be wonderful. Thank you. So I did say we're going to have a survey today, and we are. And you say, is this part of church? Yes, it is. If we're going to be a growing church and we're teaching on it, then we need to make provision. And several times last year, we ran out of room in this room. And Steve, who's on car park, told me over and over again, there's no room in the car park. So we've made a plan. Okay? And this is really important. I'm going to read it. So when you get it, keep it. And we're going to do this for the next few weeks in September. I'm not going to talk all about it, but we're going to hand these out for anybody that's not filled theirs in. So, Family Church Gospel Sunday morning service options. In recent weeks, Sunday mornings in FC have been very full, and what a blessing. We're exploring options for the future and would love your input. We don't want to do this without your input. Information, and we don't want to do it without you having your say. Picking your preferred option by ticking one of the boxes and then handing it to the hosting team or putting it in one of the offering buckets. So please select the option. We're not asking you to do it today unless it's really easy for you to say, this is what I want, okay? We're not asking you to do it today, but you can take it home. But we do want everybody's involvement. Option one. Okay, has everyone got one now? Option one, two services in the morning, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Half an hour of being able to be together, having refreshments, and then 11 to 12:30. So there'll be joint refreshment time for those leaving and those arriving, but we will have to say, guys, you're going to have to leave. We're starting the next service, all right? Or you just stay here and you enjoy the next service. Kids Church running in both. This is my preferred option. If that is your preferred option, that you want Kids Church running in both, we expect you to serve on Kids Church. because I'm not going to put that same demand on the same team that are already there. Okay? Second, option number two, two services in the morning, 9 a.m. to 10:30, 11 to 12:30, joint refreshment time for those leaving, praise and worship in both services, kids' church running only in the 9 a.m. to 10:30 service. So it won't run at all in the second service. Option three, two Sunday services in the morning, 9 a.m., 10:30, 11 to 12:30, with a joint refreshment time in the middle for those leaving and arriving, with praise and worship running in both, with kids' church running at the 11 to 12:30 service. Okay, so there are slight differences in all of them, because you may be a family and you think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a lay-in on a Sunday? Well, you'll tick that box. There may be others that think, let's get the kids up early and then we've got the rest of the day to do what we like. Options. Okay, option number four. Two Sunday services, morning and evening. 10:30 to 12 in the morning and 6:30 to 8 in the evening, with refreshments in the morning service only. Praise and worship in both. Kids' church only in the morning service. But the evening service will be more ministry-based as well as preached. Option five, one Sunday morning service, 10 a.m. to 12:10 in a local school where we would need a strong setup and breakdown team. If you've never done setup properly, I did it for 15 years in the school, where you set up everything and you break it down every single week. We need a team of at least, I would say, 20 people each week. Just to give you context, we used to have Broom Park 12, 14, regularly 15. We are a bigger congregation now and we've got more kit. So it would be a bigger option. Option number six, Sunday morning service, kids out from 10 a.m. to 12:10. So the kids go out at the start of the service to make more seating for adults. So the kids don't come in. You take them straight out to the kids' church. The kids' church team are out there already. And we do church in here having more seats for adults. Everything else would stay the same. Again, for that to be an option, we would need more kids' church team. And then on the back, we're asking, would you please put your name? We don't want this to be anonymous. We want to know who you are, your age demographic, so that we can work out why. Why is this group signing up for this particular area? Why is this group signing up for another? Do you have children? Yes or no? Children that attend church, we mean, not, oh, yes, I've got children, but none of them attend church or they're too old. If you can do that, please let us know how you would like to help facilitate these changes. Would you be prepared to join the kids' church team? Yes or no? Would you join the media and sound team? Yes or no? Join the worship team? Yes or no? Join the setup and pack down team? Yes or no? The ultimate end game of this information will be determined by the senior leadership of Family Church. But the more information we can get from the congregation, the easier that decision will be made. Now, please, you may go for option three. I don't even know what option three is. You may go for option three. Please don't leave because we've not done your option, all right? We are going by what we feel led to do and by the feedback that we get. That's why it's important. Does that make sense to everybody? Let me say it this way. You can please some of the people some of the time, but you will not please all of the people all of the time. And we're quite aware by doing this, not all of the people are going to be pleased. But the joy is, we have a church that's growing. We have a church that we don't sometimes have enough seats in the room or space in the room for the amount of people we have. And I thank God for the problem. But do you know what? I want the problem to be far worse than what we have already. Because I want to see far more people coming to know the Lord. And we need to open up another congregation. We're not at that stage right now. But we do need to facilitate the growth that we're seeing. Is there anything else I needed to add to that? It's good to see that people... I will answer a question.
Can you take more than one option?
No. Does it say you can... Okay, I would sooner we have one option, okay? Or else if, because if I was on there, I'd probably tick three boxes, because, oh, I'd love to do an evening meeting. Oh, I'd love, and all of a sudden we've got all these, no, your first option, please, okay? That would be helpful. Oh, I didn't want to do question and answers this morning. Lynn, yes, go on. If you are absolutely know the option that you want, you can put it in the box today. If you want to take it away, pray about it, think about it, talk about it, that you can bring it back next week. We are going to do this right through September because not everybody is here today, okay? But this is not going to be explained every week. Only today is explained, all right? Good. No other questions? Good. Did you like the way I said that? No other questions? Good. Right, we're going to finish in prayer, okay? We've got two prayer requests. And if you're here for the first time, hopefully there's a little form near you called Welcome Home. We'd love for you to fill that out, put it in the offering bucket, and we can keep in contact with you. But we've got two prayer requests. We're going to pray for Bob. I went and saw Bob this week. He's quite chirpy in himself, but... the infection in his legs not being cleared up with the antibiotics. So we're just going to pray for Bob today and for Eva. And we're also going to pray for a mother who needs wisdom in helping her son, who is longing for a father figure in his life. So we're going to pray for those. And you may have an area of prayer need in your life. We're just going to bring that before God this morning as well. So let's just pray. Father, we just stand before you. We come into your presence, Lord, and say, Lord, we present these prayer requests to you. And Father, we pray for Bob and we ask, Lord God, that you would move upon that operation and upon that metal plate and upon the healing of that wound in his body. What man has tried to do unsuccessfully, we believe you can do supernaturally. So, Father, we just bring him before you and we say, Lord God, move on Bob's behalf. Bring healing and manifestation of the healing of that wound in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray for this young man, Lord, who just needs a father figure in his life. I pray, Father God, that in his church there will rise up a man that he can look to and say, I want to be just like that. A man, a godly man, a sincere and kind-hearted man, a man of strength and of wisdom. Father, I thank you that you can meet all our needs, regardless of what they are. And Father, ultimately, I pray that he would look to you as his Father in heaven, who loves and adores his life. And Father, in this room, there are probably many other needs, and I just lift them all before you. You are the Lord who heals. You are the Lord who delivers. You are the Lord who sets free. You are the Lord who breaks through. And Father, in the name of Jesus, right across this room, whatever the need, we turn our eyes to you, and we say thank you. Thank you for the answer. Thank you for the manifestation. Because, Lord God, we know that you hear when we pray in Jesus' name. And, Lord, right now I just pray finally for our children. Lord, all those little ones in the other room, those that are in this room and those who haven't been able to attend today. Lord, watch over their lives, we pray. Just as Samuel heard your voice from a very young age, Lord God, I pray that our children in this house will hear your voice, that they would follow your call. And Lord, as Psalm 91 says, 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 at their right hand, but it will not come near them. No disaster to come near our kids. That they would look to you all the days of their life, and they would walk in your house and be the pillars of society. We declare it, we prophesy over their lives in the name of Jesus this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.